Christmas is as far away as ever, isn't that right? Just another 364 days to go. The festivities have almost ended. That bright orange tie, you know, that old Aunt Jemima has given you, it's just going to the same place where the lime green one went last year. It's going to get into a drawer. And remember that old kipper tie you got years ago? Wee Bobby down there, he knows all about the kipper ties. You know, they come down like this, and then they come into a point. And they were a source of great hilarity. Well, that's there in that drawer too, and they're never going to see the light of day. But Christmas is gone for another year. Or has it? You see, all that we've mentioned, the ties and the festivities and all that, really don't have a great deal to do with the true meaning of Christmas. But Christmas can last all year round. We don't keep the babe in the manger, but we thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world for a particular purpose, to save sinners. And if we have Christ in our heart, we can have him in our hearts 365 days, 24 hours a day. Now, in the portion that we just read, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas Day is over, the manger is empty, the house is empty, the 40 days of Mary's purification has closed, and they're now bringing the child Jesus to the temple to do for him according to the law. And the Lord did state in Leviticus 12:1-4 that the male child had opened the womb, then they presented the child after the mother's purification. So the child has been brought to the temple to be presented unto the Lord. And while Joseph and Mary came to the temple, they met a man, and I sometimes called him Old Simeon. And I don't know whether he was old or not, because we're not told. And I hope when we get to heaven, he forgives us for calling him an old man. Maybe he wasn't. But he had a remarkable experience. Now, this man was a godly man. It says he was a just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel, or the comfort of Israel. He was waiting the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. This was a godly man. The Holy Spirit was used to talking to him. He was used to listening to the Holy Spirit. And he came into the temple that day by the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say here that Simeon was a priest or a scribe or anything like that. It just said there was a man in Jerusalem. Maybe he was just there to worship like the rest of the congregation. But this man had a tremendous experience. Because when Mary and Joseph came in and presented the child, the Holy Ghost told Simeon, "This is he." See, the Holy Ghost has said, "Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ." But I'm sure Simeon was a wise man, and he would say, "Well, now, even if I live to 70 years, this child is going to come. So his birth is going to be very soon." And he would be excited. And every day went past, "Is it today? Is it today?" We should be excited about the Lord. And he has come. And then when he takes up the child in his arms, and it says that he took, verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And he praised the Lord, he blessed God. And I'm sure he did. I'm sure his praise was wholehearted. This was the day that he was waiting for, when he saw and held in his arms the Lord Christ. And he tells me tonight very plainly, very simply, it knocks in the head all those that say, "Well, I think salvation is doing this and doing that, or doing the other thing, or going to church." When he took the child in his arms, he blessed God, for he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praised the Lord for that. And I just want to look at Simeon tonight and how he praised the Lord for the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the motive for his praising the Lord. When Simeon had entered the temple and took up the child in his arms, he declared the reasons for his joy. First of all, he prays the Lord for who he is. Notice what it says in verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. In verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He saw him for who he is. The name Simeon means he who hears. And it's a good thing, you know, to come to the house of God to hear the word of God. And it's good for us to be sensitive to the word of the Holy Spirit. And he obviously had been listening. And he knew that this was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now, when old Simeon saw the child Jesus, he was again told by the Holy Spirit, this is him. Isn't this a wonderful thing? A man that was walking in the Spirit of God. One whose ear was open to the Spirit of God, listening what he was to do, what he was to hear. And when he came in, the Mary and Joseph came in that day, he saw the Christ, the Savior of the world. Who is this baby? He's identified as the Lord's Christ. He's identified as the Lord's salvation. And Simeon understood who he was. But you know, a few then did. The humble shepherds knew who he was, because the angels had told them. The heavenly angels knew who he was. The religious leaders didn't know who he was. And sadly, many people today don't know who he is. Who is he? Well, he's Emmanuel, God with us. God in human flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or in the original, God was the Word. And then verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who is he? He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Imagine it. That awesomeness of it, that God has appeared among men. Who is he? He's the only Savior of sinners. He's the only way to God. Acts 4 and 12, Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said to his disciples, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, to be politically correct today, you have to regard all religions. And the governments of today are keeping in with the Arabs and keeping in with the Islam countries. They talk about these great religions. I tell you tonight, there's only salvation in one person. There's no other one in whom there's salvation, only the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I tell you something, brothers and sisters, tonight, the day is coming when preachers that preach that are going to be incarcerated in prison, because it will not be politically correct to say there's only one way of salvation. But there only is one. And we have to keep preaching it, and thank God it has been preached and will be preached. And Simeon is so excited because the promised one has come. He knew who Jesus was. The question is tonight, do you know? Do you know who he is? Oh, you've read about him, you've heard about him, you've sang him in the carols. But tell me tonight, do you really know him? Do you know him as Simeon knew him? When he took up in his arms, he blessed God for his salvation. Do you know him like that tonight? And then he praised him because of why he came. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, And in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentile and the glory of thy people Israel. We're told in verse 30 that Jesus is salvation. We've covered that. Then we're told that he has come to change mankind. He's come to make a difference in the world. The world was lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. And Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He came that he might make a change in your life and mine. And I say, friend, tonight sincerely, if you make a profession of faith and there's not a change in your life, there's something wrong with your salvation. Not want to put any doubt in anybody's mind tonight, but Christ makes a real change. When he came to the angel or the shepherds, what a change he made in their lives. They were sitting on a cold Judean hillside watching their sheep, probably freezing half to death, and mumbling and complaining and all the rest of it. And then they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and they went on their way rejoicing and telling others. And the wise men came from afar to see him who was born King of the Jews. No, to make a change, not only to the Jewish nation, but the Gentile nations, and all nations outside of the Jewish of Israel are Gentiles. He came to all people. Good news of great tidings to all people. He's come to you and to me tonight. He's come to make a change in our life. As the song says, he's come to make something beautiful out of your life and mine. I know there's many people out there tonight and they know they need a change, but they don't know how to go about it. And there's some people and they think they're all right. Well, I do go to Bethany Free Presbyterian Church and thank God for that. We're glad to see you. But you need to know, to come to know Christ, that he would make a change in your life. Stephen was talking about young people going out and reaching others on the outside, trying to make a change in their lives, something better. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to destroy man's life. He came to save us. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly. Surely that's reason enough to praise him, that he would love us so much that he lived and he died for us and he rose again. That he endured the cross and despised the shame to set us free from the bondage and servitude of our sins. And let me say tonight, friend, whatever your sin might be tonight, there's power in the blood of Christ to break that sin tonight, to cleanse it tonight. We have a wonderful message that no other religion has. We have a risen and exalted Savior who's able to save to the very uttermost. No matter what your sin is tonight, Jesus Christ can deal with that sight, that sin, because there's power, wonder-working power, sin-destroying power in the blood of the Lamb. And then he praised him for what he would accomplish. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon's praise includes a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a threefold prophecy. First of all, he prophesied Christ as a stone. You'll notice the verse 34, and Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary, this child shall be set for the fall and a rising again of many in Israel. And those words, set for the fall and rising again, it's a direct quotation, or it's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. A stumbling block or a snare. And some stumbled over the simplicity of the gospel. They're still doing that. They can't really believe that salvation is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Greeks, they think it's foolishness. But it's the truth. Well, Simeon said some would stumble, but they would rise again. They would believe. He is still the stone. He's the stone of salvation. But it's also the stone of judgment. Notice what the Lord said in Matthew 21, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall in the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. See, there's a difference. You can stumble over a stone and get up again. There's many stumble at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they believe it. But there's those that reject it. And that same stone will grind them to powder in judgment. He's the touchstone. He reveals men for what they really are. He's the standard that we have to set ourselves again. You see, people are very prone to say, well, you know, I don't do what she does. Nor I wouldn't go to the places that he goes to. And you see him, he goes to church every Sunday with the Bible under his arm. But I wouldn't do the things that he... Do you know what he does in his business? But that's not ours. That's not the standard. God's standard is perfection. And he that breaketh the law in one point is guilty of all. So he's the stone. But he's also the sign. He's also a sign. He shall be given for a sign, a mark or an indication. This Lord Jesus Christ is God's revelation to man. And he's given us a gift. This is he that should come. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet there's many people and they refuse the sign. Refuse the sign. You know, in our world and in our nation, in 2007, there were signs that economic disaster was on the way. And the experts didn't want to know. Things were going so well. People were buying property as if it was going out of fashion. And then the crash came. But the signs were there. The signs were there. It's like someone, and I'm not just feeling too well, you know. Just not at myself. And there's signs there and there are indications that something is not just right. And they ignore it. And then all of a sudden they have to go to the doctor. They have to go to the hospital. And they're just told those sad words, sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. Lord, the sign. Christ is God's sign. God, Christ is God's manifestation. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And people ignore him. They reject him. And they do so at their peril. Because there's no salvation in any other. Then Simeon talked about a sword in verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be may revealed. And this, of course, was in reference to Mary. And you can well imagine that she stood at the cross and she watched at what evil and wicked men had done to her son, to God's son. And the mocking and the spitting and the nailing to the tree. Surely it was like a sword going through her bones. A stone, a sign, and a sword. And our time is gone tonight. But Christ has come. And that's the great news to the world tonight. That he has come. He's not in the manger anymore. He's not in the house. He's not in the temple. He's not in the cross tonight. He's not in the tomb. Praise God, he's arisen tonight. And he's an exalted Savior. And the Bible tells me he'll save to the very uttermost, from the guttermost, all that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for him. You see, that's the difference between Christianity and other religions. All the leaders of all religions are dead. They're dead. Christ is alive. And he's alive forevermore. And he'll save whosoever comes to him tonight. And there's power in Jesus' blood to wash as white as snow. Is it any wonder Simeon praised the Lord and thanked God? And I tell you something, I think if I read Simeon right, he was ready to die then and there. He was ready to go, and he was going to die in peace because he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had received him. He was happy. Happy. How could you be an atheist and die happy? He was ready to die. He wanted to die. Like Paul, it was far better for him to live was Christ and to die was gain. And so it is for the child of God. None of us know what 2011 will bring. But I tell you this, if you've got Christ in your heart, you've got Christ in your life, you receive him as your Savior, well, you can smile at the storm as you go sailing home. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Thank you for listening.